Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. We're presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. You ever meet somebody really for the first time and you feel like you've known them for a long time? That's how I feel about Sharon. Britton Pruitt and Sharon Roberson from Albuquerque Christian Children's Home in studio with us. Hi, you guys. How you doing?
Just doing great.
Doing good.
Glad you had us over.
We've had a nice conversation so far. I have to tell Sharon, though, while we're talking, hey, you can't say that now because you had to say that on the radio in just a minute. Albuquerque Christian Children's Home is a longtime sponsor of the programming on KNKT and our show ABQ Connect. So thank you for that. We also want to make sure that we're doing a good job of communicating what you do in the ministry and how you do it. Britton, why don't you start us off and tell us the story behind Albuquerque Christian Children's Home?
Well, there's a lot to the history, but as brief as I can make it, we were founded in 1970. So Joel and Nina Taylor actually donated some land to the University Church of Christ so they could actually start a foster home for abused and neglected children. And they got that done. Actually, they donated it in like 1968, but we actually opened up in 1970. But currently, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be where we are today. But currently, we have three cottages. We have three sets of house parents. We currently have 19 children that we have on campus for foster, that we foster. So the situations that they have gone through, the background that they have gone through, we do everything we can to make sure that they grow up in a Christ-centered home, that they have everything that they need to just be children.
And it's really exciting because, and Sharon's going to throw a little more light on this for us here in just a minute, but what I've learned from you, Britton, meeting with you every month or so for the last year and a half or so, is that they really have never experienced a normal life because of their past, at least what we would consider to be normal. And now they have a room, they can put up posters, they can have their own space, they have chores to do, they have their fed three squares a day. It's kind of maybe even a benefit right now. I know it's a lot more work because you've had to go to having school on campus because of all the virtual learning. But in many ways, that's more bonding and more time together with these kids. So it's a really exciting story. Sharon Roberson is the director of campus life. So everything that happens on campus from the house parents to the kids on campus, you're kind of overseeing.
I guess so. You know, when I went to work there nearly 14 years ago, I thought, campus life director, isn't that like on a cruise ship? I mean, yeah, it hasn't been a cruise ship, but
yeah.
But what I am is I'm the placement coordinator for all the children in our care, children coming in and then new to us. And then as they're there, I, you know, manage their cases. And I also supervise house parents, which they supervise me normally. It's kind of a turnabout thing. But yeah, children are precious. I wanted to go back to what Britton said. Joel and Nina Taylor, that's at the Taylor Ranch.
Yeah.
You know, for people
yeah,
on the
yeah.
west side, you know, he was known as a land baron and they had a lot of cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they gave us that land. So
you know, it's
kind of
interesting to think about yeah. that land without anything on it.
Yeah.
Because it's a city now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's every square foot kind of taken. But it is. The generosity is really impressive, and we have a lot of generous people listening today. And
right.
one of the reasons we share the story is because our listeners support the ministry, and we want them to know how you're doing and what you're mm-hmm. doing. And let's go back now to Britton. Britton, I don't want to mention the year that just passed. It's like I don't even like to call the enemy by his name.
Yeah.
I just think there's unpleasant things and. For me, anyway, I didn't like last year too much. There were a lot of things we learned. There was a lot of positive things. Tell me how the year ended up for you guys, because there were some positive notes.
The year ended up really well. We were really struggling all year to know what to do because of COVID, because of all the restrictions that were placed on us. We had a hard time trying, especially me, trying to be able to figure out what to do to actually raise money. Mm-hmm. And we did okay. We did really well. And then the end of the year, we normally have our holiday affair with the auction and everything. And this year we weren't able to do that because we, where we normally have it, we can't have, you know, 600 people in a room. So we did a love offering virtually, and it worked out better than we could possibly have imagined. We met and exceeded our goal just because of the generous donors and sponsors, and also because of God's grace. We did really well.
As a dad, and Sharon is a mom and a grandma, we need to talk about the fact that, hey, you can meet a goal financially, but the expenses to take care of children never end.
Oh.
And those of us who are not necessarily, we're taking care of our own children, maybe as foster parents too, but you're fostering 18, 19 kids, and the expenses continue. There's all kinds of things that you like our listeners to help you with. You love them to help you with gift cards. They can make financial donations. You've deployed some technology, the virtual events that you've already talked about, and there's some videos and things that people can look at right now. How do they go online to look at those, Britton?
So we, on our website at acch4kids.org, or on Facebook, same address, we have needs, and we have the things that the kids need, and then, like you said, gift cards. This is the time of the year that we really need gift cards. We need gift cards from Walmart and Target, from clothing stores, so we can get the children clothing and supplies. And as many gift cards as people can donate, we need them because we use them.
Well, it's like if we get a new child in, sometimes they come to us with the clothes they're standing in.
Yeah.
And so, and we're not allowed to currently take used clothing because of COVID. You don't know, you know, the crazy virus, who knows where it's lurking, right? So anyways, those gift cards are just amazing for us to be able to take a child to Walmart and pick up a, you know, what they need essentially right away. So, yeah.
I will say though that your web addresses, your website is really easy to donate money.
Oh, yeah.
Also, it's very secure.
At the top, there's a donate button. So you go to acch4kids.org. There's a little donate now button at the top, and it'll take you to a little screen, and you can donate there.
And just so people know, you get a receipt immediately, and you guys don't inundate donors with emails and all these other kinds of things. You treat that confidentially. I know that from personal experience. So I think it's really valuable. I mean, people need to understand. Hopefully when we get past COVID a little bit, you have a really neat summer event, a little barbecue. It's more of an open house. It's not even a fundraiser, and people can come down, look at the facilities. And by the way, the facilities are very well kept, but like anything, they need maintenance. Like I happen to know right now that you guys need a new water line coming into the property. And that has ended up being kind of expensive. So I'm going to challenge some plumbing companies out there.
Yes.
Hey, maybe this is something that you might take on as a project. Come take a look at it. Make sure it's something that you can deal with and it's within your specialty. But call Britton. How do they get in touch with you, Britton?
You can get in touch with me. My email address is bpruitt@acch4kids.org. And just let me kind of reiterate, my number is 505-898-5520 at the Children's Home. But just let me reiterate one thing. All the plumbing that we have on the campus is 50 years old.
Yeah.
So we need, if there's a plumbing company out there that has a ministry and a heart for ministry and they want to do something good, it would be really nice if they could come out and replumb our campus, because we get a leak over here, and we have our maintenance supervisor. He goes and fixes it, and then we get another leak over here.
Yeah.
And then it just keeps breaking every now and then. We have to keep replacing it. So we do need help with that.
Hey, and by the way, I'm going to say, I know there's somebody from the Plumbers Union listening to the show today.
We hope so.
Need to go get that whole union. Let's go get 3 or 4 contractors to come out. Because, you know, frankly, to come out and replumb your whole campus would be pretty expensive. And I'm sure there's some that have the capability of doing that. But if you got 4 or 5 companies together, that would make it a lot easier. And it would make it, you know, time, money, all of that. But it would also bless that many more people that could be involved in the ministry. Sharon, tell us, how do children come to Albuquerque Christian Children's Home?
It's a good question, and I get that asked a lot. Children can come to us from CYFD or CPS, depending on what state you're from. and those would be children who have been picked up by 911 calls, you know, for some reason a child is found in an unsafe situation. So the police officer would take the children and bring them to CYFD, and then they'd call us. So sometimes we get children from CYFD. But lately, in the last couple years, we have been pretty full from the tribes. So in New Mexico, 15 to 21 pueblo/reservations, depending on how they want to, identify themselves. But the tribes do call us, and they bring us their children, and we feel blessed that they trust us with their sweet children. And
well, the nations have been affected by COVID probably
so
more than any other communities.
Terribly. And they're so thrilled that we have their children right now. I mean, I'll call and say, we're safe, we're good. And they'll say, no one's got the virus. No, the children are safe and good. Oh, they're thrilled because it's not that way on the reservations, right?
Right.
So we do get children from the tribes. And then another place we get them is private placements. People find themselves economically stressed. You know, they're homeless. They lost their job. They don't want their children to be homeless. They're just destitute. So they'll call us, and we do have private placements that way as well. So kids come us that way. So many different ways, but all in all, we're providing a safe, loving place for them to live while parents are trying to make things safe again for them, right?
Sharon, this might be going backwards, but in this segment, we have 2 minutes left in this segment. I want to ask you about what life looks like for a child on campus. You know, where do they sleep? When do they have breakfast, lunch, and dinner? All of those different things. But in the second segment, I'm going to ask you about from where they come. What kind of circumstances have you seen? And the adjustment that they have to make into really a wonderful life that they will have at Albuquerque Christian Children's Home.
So you're asking about where they are when they're.
But do they have? You know, they come from a place like I can tell you right now. I have a family that I got to know, that was up near Gallup, living on the Navajo Nation, and they lived in a, I'm going to estimate 1,400 square feet, one bathroom, one bedroom, living room full of. Foam mattresses on the bed or on the floor that all these family members. And that's why COVID has been so prevalent, is because there's so many people living in a single residence, well-intentioned, loving family, all of this, but there's just no space. So if one family member gets ill, then it just spreads to everybody. A lot of people, including Samaritan's Purse, Convoy of Hope, I know Calvary Church, Legacy Church, Citizen Church, just to name a few, are doing things constantly to try to, you know, support with everything from paper goods to food to right. However they can help. But I want you to describe how different it is for a child to come on your campus.
It's good that you said that, because this was hard for me the first couple times I heard a child say this. They come on campus, and we usually do a tour with them, and we show them, now this will be the cottage you live in, and these will be your house parents, and this will be your room, and this will be your bed. And if you could picture a child just standing there, kind of flat affect, just overwhelmed.
Their like faith, in awe.
In awe. And they said, this is mine. Now, they might share the room with another person, but this is their room. It's so you talking about that, you know, coming from a place where they didn't have their own space, their own bed. No, this is your own bed. You don't have to share this with anyone. With no one? No, with no one. That's your bed. You have to keep it clean. Oh, I will. And they do. They do. They really do. This is your own bathroom. There's a bathroom attached. I don't have to share it with any. Well, you have to share it with your little roommate. But just the two of us? Just the two of you. I mean, it is. It's overwhelming to me. I'm so privileged. And you don't even realize it till you hear it out of the mouths of babes. You know, that this is. So that's what we do. We just provide them a loving place. They get their own clothes. They get a meal. You talked about it earlier, 3 meals a day.
Yeah.
They get someone who will listen. That's the biggest part. They get someone who's there for them and listens to them.
I'm not just thinking about that. We're going to talk about this in our next segment, but I'm going to ask you about the house parents. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you about how they read stories to children and how they do things that parents do, because a lot of these children have never experienced that before. Sharon Roberson and Britton Pruitt with Albuquerque Christian Children's Home in studio with me this afternoon. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten Son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel. And never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You get a better deal and a better experience. Every vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or just come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Sharon Roberson, the Director of Campus Life at Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, and Britton Pruitt, the Director of Development and Studio, with us this afternoon. Sharon, you were just kind of painting the picture of a child that comes on campus. You're giving them a tour. They come from really difficult circumstances.
Most often they do. But you were wanting me to talk more about the house parents.
Yeah.
And those house parents are saints. I just appreciate them so much. I think about it. If I, Jim, showed up at your house and said, here, this family of four kids are yours, and I need you to be everything to them. I need you to be dad, just really dad, and teach them everything. Everything. Sometimes, you know, bodily functions, how to take care of yourself. So wow. It's really basic on top of your own life, right? So anyways, sometimes the kids they get, because these are children coming from traumatic backgrounds, can be very, the behaviors can be strong, just really outrageous. But yet I expect my house parents to just accept them with open arms. And, you know, one minute they're screaming, I hate you. And the next minute there's, I love you, I'm sorry. But that house parent just has to go with that. They just go with the flow of that and just be there in that person. We're very fortunate at the children's home right now that we have three sets of wonderful house parents. They're just amazing people and so patient. I raised five kids of my own. I was not that patient. And one of the things working there that has helped me tremendously.
All of us that have had five children are perfect parents.
We are perfect. Perfect. And my baby turns 31 next week, so don't let me go that way. But I have learned great empathy for parents. I mean, I think when you're parenting your own children, you only see your story. You only see the challenges you went through. And my children had a pretty blessed life, okay? But the kids that we get at the children's home, they may or may not have had a blessed life. They might have been dealing with domestic violence in the home. They might have been dealing with horrible alcoholism or drug abuse or both or all three, you know, pick all three. Not to mention economic, hardships of not enough food. You know, when the caseworkers go in and take a child from a home, you know, it's not easily done. But when they open a cabinet and there's no food in the house, they go into the kid's bedroom and there's not adequate clothing or not adequate bedding or anything adequate, right? It's not done easily when they take a child from their home or their family. But coming to the home, we're going to make sure that their basic needs are met, mm-hmm. right? So those house parents are amazing in that if the child wakes up at 2 a.m. in the morning and opens their door and says, house parents are on,
yeah.
right? Just like you would for your own children.
Yeah.
So you put them back to bed at 2 a.m. and then at 3 a.m. they've got nightmares again. So you're up again. Some nights are like that, up and down, up and down. And other nights you get the chance of sitting in a chair. Like you said earlier, we were talking about being able to read to a child. There's something about curling up in a chair or a couch with a child in your arms and you're getting to read a storybook to them or even God's word to them. Mm-hmm. It's precious. It's precious. And when I look at the house parents and they tell me these stories and they're crying and I'm crying with them, we feel pretty blessed that we get to work with these kids that way.
My father was doing his master's degree at Western New Mexico many years ago, and I was probably 6 years old. And one of the things that my mom used to do with us is take us to the library. Mm-hmm. And, of course, libraries are not that big a thing now because everything's online. But in those days, the library was kind of the center of, you know, cool things you could read and stuff like that. Kind of miss that, especially for my children. But she would sit us down, and sometimes my mom would be the one that's reading, but they would read us stories, you know, like Treasure Island and mm-hmm. some of these really cool, that you wanted to come back the next week to hear the next chapter or whatever. And I did that with my children. My children remember every Dr. Seuss book, you know. I remember my oldest son, he used to like this book called Are You My Mother?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a cute mm-hmm. book, and I can remember.
No, my favorite was, Oh, the Places You'll Go.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
yeah.
The Places You'll Go.
But most of us, we would see that. We would remember that as not only as parents, but if you were ever read those kind of things as a child. But many of the children that you're talking about have not had that experience.
Yeah, they don't have those memories. They have the memories of, seriously, they have the memories of standing outside a restaurant at night at 9 o'clock hoping that the manager will give them food. They have the memories of being in Giant or 7-Up and stealing a chips and Coke and gum because they're hungry. You know, yeah. Their stories are very different, very right. different. It's not fair. And so we try while they're at the children's home to change that normal, because that's normal to them. That's what really kills me, is it's normal to them to steal chips because they're hungry, not a burger. I mean, I'd go for something big, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, but they're children, so they don't know any different, right? So that's what their memories are. And they find that normal. That's the really sore part for me, is how can that be normal? How have we failed that these children are being raised thinking it's okay to be without and to not have shelter even? Being raised underneath one of the bridges here in Albuquerque, you know, there's quite a
homeless population,
and there are children in that homeless population. We've had children come through our facility before who literally were raised for many years in the tent city and underneath the bridges in Albuquerque. So then we get them and just teaching them that's not normal.
Yeah.
They don't know that. They don't know that.
Yeah.
To them, that was normal.
Before we have our last question with you, Sharon, I want to go back to Britton, because Sharon is sharing, obviously, the emotion and the perspective that our listeners need to understand in order to say, hey, this is a ministry that has tremendous value. Britton, you're the director of development. People can go online to your website, which is ACCH, for Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, the number 4kids.org. Mm-hmm. They can make donations, financial donations, or they can drop off gift cards and those kind of things. So if you give somebody if you get a Target gift card for $100, that's going to go a long way to buying clothes and things for one of the children.
Yes. Yeah. So right now we're needing as many gift cards as people can donate. So yes, that'll go a long way.
As we get through COVID a little bit more, one of the exciting things that I've done in the past is I've dropped off some Isotopes tickets, or I didn't ever drop off United tickets, but I wasn't able to go to a United game yet. But I'm excited to do that and drop off some United tickets once we get back to mm-hmm. doing that. One of my favorite things is to drop off Lobo tickets, but of course we don't have that now either. Mm-hmm. But there's going to come a time, and I want our listeners to understand that you are creating an environment, Britton, where these kids have a life. They go to school. Mm-hmm. They get dropped off in the morning, and they get picked up in the afternoon. The house parents go to parent-teacher conferences. They have friends at school. They get to be in the school play. And, of course, that's all goofed up right now with COVID. Right now you have you've designed a little computer room, and everything's being done virtually. So lots more needs, Britton. Tell us how people can help.
So We have, and we still have work to do, but we still, anything that anybody, once we start getting back up and we start getting back in the routine and we can start meeting again, we are going to need a lot of volunteers to come on campus and help with maintenance and fixing things and painting things and just general maintenance, because we have a maintenance supervisor, but he can't do everything.
Right.
He gets so far behind. So we're going to need that once we open back up. But right now, unfortunately, we can't. So we're going to need that. So once we open back up, I will be sending out some information that people can start calling to volunteer again.
And people have come on your campus. You shared this with us here a year or so ago prior to COVID, where there's actually ministries, churches in Seattle, Washington,
oh, yeah.
I think, and they come down here and they do landscaping on your campus for a week, and they bring the materials and they bring the money and they bring the manpower. That's cool stuff.
Yeah, sometimes we have, I know that there's a couple of groups that came down one time. They put a brand new fence up. They put, reseeded an entire yard. They put sod down. They put plants all the way around one of the backyards of the cottages. They moved a lot of dirt. I think sometimes they won't even put concrete in. One group came down from Wichita, Kansas, and I think they are the ones that put up the roof on one of the garage overhangs that we have. So they do more than just maintenance, but they come down, they bring the money for it, they bring the manpower for it, and they bring the money for the project, and they bring money for food, and it works, and we'll cook the food for them, Sharon.
Yeah, you guys have a neat kitchen. I've been to the pancake breakfast, which, of course, is kind of on hold. Some great pancakes in your cafeteria there. That's great stuff. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, when those groups come, one of their fun things they always say when we interview it's usually teen groups that come in during the summer to do this from different places. But one of the things they love is time they get to spend with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out there playing with them in the afternoon. Once they're done with their chores that we give them, they get a couple hours of play with the children. And our kids love it, and they love it. It's always a highlight.
And Sharon, I've gotten to talk to – I had the fortune of talking with some of your kids, and they're really sweethearts. But there's a transition between the time they get there and the time after they've been with you for a while. Tell us about that transition.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't trust me. Why would they trust me? Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a tribal child, I'm white, and not all of them have a great trust of that. So you've got prejudices that you have to overcome. But it's more that they have found that adults haven't been trustworthy in the past. Adults have let me go hungry. Adults have been scary. Adults haven't done what they should. So there's a lot of things to overcome. So the first 6 weeks, we call that our honeymoon period, where the kids are so excited about my own room, my own bed, my own, you know, all this new stuff. And then after 6 weeks, that's when we really settle down and start working on trust, and we work on behaviors, and we work on a new norm.
Yeah.
You hate to tell them, I can't believe your parents did that. You don't want to ever say that to them, but you have to say, well, we do it this way here at ACCH. Why don't you give it a try? Mm-hmm. I mean, It's hard, but you do see the behaviors change always. It's amazing.
Now, Sharon, do you see things and your staff gets together and prays for these kids?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have weekly staffing where we get together and talk about behaviors with a licensed therapist. And we're real fortunate that we have Christian therapists mm-hmm. to work with our kids, too. And it's just precious. It's a precious time. We all are working really hard to help these children know God, that God loves them. I had said earlier to you, and you told me to repeat it, was it's so sad but wonderful in the same breath that a child feels like God might have forgotten them. And I would always ask them, why do you feel that way? Because we'd ask them, do you mind that you're going to be living here at a children's home? It's a Christian children's home, and you'll be going to church with your, you know, family. And what do you think about that? And they kind of shrug and say, we don't care. And I'll say, oh, but you're going to love it. There'll be classes you can go to in children, and you'll learn about God. And they'll say, God doesn't care about me. And, you know, you're shocked. Most of us are shocked. Why do you say that? Well, why else would I be here? God doesn't care about me. I wouldn't be in this situation. So our job and our ministry is to change that, flip that around to where they think God does love them, that God does care. He cares a lot. And he cares about their family, too. Even though it's broken right now, God cares about it. So that's the fun part. It's a process. It's not overnight, you know.
Sharon, Britton, thank you guys for being with us today. I'm sorry we blew through that 30 minutes so quick, because I could talk to you both for another hour about all this, because it's so exciting. Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, Sharon Roberson, she is the director of campus life, and Britton Pruitt is the director of development. You can reach out to them. What's the phone number?
505-898-5520.
898-5520, or reach out on the web at acch4kids.org. Thank you both for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.